anyway, I want to give a brief summary in totally random order. The amazing chizuk that was permeated at the Torah Masorah convention. But Maisa, I don't know what I regretfully wasn't omade on going to these conventions when I'm in my youth and inexperience. And I think it was a mistake. First of all, the collection of gedolim that are there, like I was sitting in the back Shabbos morning, and they called up Yamod, Moreno, Rav Shmuel, and Moreno, Yaakov, Shlishi. Then they call up Yamod, Moreno, Rab Ruvain, Ben Moreno, Rab Moshe, Rivi. Then they call up Yamod, Moreno, Rav something, Malkiel, Ben Rav Moreno, Rav Schneier, Chamishi. And Yamod, Rav Elia, Ben Rav Shmuel, Asalya Bravrodni, Ben Rav Shmuel, Rodni, Shishi. And just one after the other, you know, you don't even have to look up, it's Gedolim ben Gedolim. So like, you just bump in from one Gadol to the next Gadol, and they're all, you know, just there to be mechazik. They look out, they consider that convention these are the leaders of Chai Yisrael, these are all the mechamchim. It's not all the mechamchim. Someone said there's 30% of mechamchim there. That's ridiculous. That, you know, there are a much lower percentage. I was the only one that went from the whole yeshiva, Rabbi Goldberger. So we have, I don't know, 25 rebbeim. We weren't 30%. And I don't think it was 30%. It might be 5%. Why do they have 1,500 people there? Because probably most of them work in the Torah Masorah office. I don't know. I have no idea. But there were a lot of people there. But it was a tremendous boost, and I wanted to share some of the tidbits. It was too hard to organize it into a cohesive bad on one topic, so I'm just going to try and give it in snippets. I often do this. I start with the little things, and I don't have time to say over the big stuff, and then we end up going over, which is always not good. So I want to I want to start off with the end. And go backwards. So, I want to say over Rabbi Harris's shmooze that he said Shabbos morning, which was a tremendous chizuk to everyone. I was sitting around a lot of people who I never saw before. They're probably all Lakewood, from Lakewood and Frommer, and they were blown away by each one of the shmoozim were. Slabodka shmuzim of the highest order, and it blew them away. The shmuz he said, since I recollect, okay, he started off with a Ralbag, which already, like the first two words out of his mouth with the Southern Ralbag, I was already like smiling from ear to ear. You know, who is a Ralbag? You know, the Ralbag said that by Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu, I think if I'm remembering it right, Rabbag says it's kedai for a person to get chizuk so that he could be mamshech the Ratzon Hashem b'chol levav u'b'shleimus k'de isa b'Moshe Rabbeinu shehizchazek v'z'amitz liYoshua m'sharso. That you see that it's kedai to give people chizuk, because just like you see Moshe Rabbeinu, and so that the person could do the avoda in a shlemistic way, like you see Moshe gave chizuk to Yeshua when he said chazak v'matz to him, and he was able to do the avoda b'shlemus. That's already so mind-boggling. Like the shmuzim is like, you know, for the people who are experienced as yourselves, they just like smacks you in the face, but everyone was sitting there like, what's he going to do with that? You know, like, what? Yeshua had all of the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. He gave over everything. He learned Kol HaTorah Kula from Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was the heir apparent, that everyone knew he was the heir apparent, and what did he need? What did Moshe Rabbeinu tell him? The words Chazak v'matz, what could it have done for him? Two extra words from Yeshua, who was going to take over Klal Yisrael, obviously was on such a high madriga, and an extra word to Yeshua is going to make a difference to be able to do the Ratzon Hashem? Are you kidding me? Yeshua was lacking anything to be able to do the Ratzon Hashem? Then why in the world was he selected to be the leader if without those two words he couldn't do the Ratzon Hashem? What, are you crazy? So like as soon as he said the Chazal, I almost choked on my saliva. Like I heard the shmooze as soon as he said the first sentence, and he pounded away like he squeezed it dry. Like he knocked it out on every front. The people like next to me, like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. It was such amazing powerful. Then he goes into this other shmooze, see if I can remember, it just blew me away. That they did they appreciated. I didn't know anyone around. I think there were 1,500 people. I knew like six people. I knew Rabbi Chait. Rabbi Tzion Chait was there. Rabbi David Harris was there. I couldn't get to him. Okay, he was sitting between Rabbi Malkiel and Rabbi Aaron Feldman. And he said over this other shmooze. Okay, what was the shmooze? Yeah, it says by the Arias that there are two Arias that it doesn't say in this past week's parsha. It was like a Shtigl Chazara, Shmuel's my Balkari. So even though all the Arias are written in Achrimos, but there's some kind of some repetition in Kedoshim, right? The Arias again, V'nichrasu, V'nichrasu, V'nichrasu. But it doesn't say the Onish by two of the Arias. It doesn't say Onish of Nichrasu by Achasishto, and it doesn't say of Nichrasu by Achoso Achos Aviv. Why not? So I think the Ebenezer says the reason why the Torah doesn't write the punishment of someone who is Mizana, who has Nus with his father's sister or his wife's sister, because it would, so to speak, be smirch the covet of Klal Yisrael, because Yaakov Avinu had two sisters, married two sisters, and Amram married his father's sister, Yocheved. It would be somewhat of a disgrace to the Klal Yisrael to write Nichrasu by these two Arias, marrying two sisters and marrying your father's sister. So it didn't say Nichrasu over there. Frank Ari Harris, first of all, anyone who learned anything knows Hakesh Reb Yonah. We know that all the Arias that are listed in Achrimos all have Karis. Beferish, Hakesh Reb Yonah, that it says, you know, whatever, I forgot the Hakesh Reb Yonah. So, like, that we know this Kares, it includes Achos Ishto, it includes Achos Aviv. So, what does it help to not write B'nichasu and Kedoshim? Yisrael knows this Kares by two sisters, and Yaakov married two sisters. What kind of disgrace is it going to be? And furthermore, it says in the Nefesh HaChaim that Yaakov Avinu, who kept Kol HaTorah Kula, he kept even the abundance, you know, he kept everything, Kol HaTorah Kula, that Yaakov Avinu, only reason why he married Rachel and Leah is because he knew through Nevuah that this union would bring about the added kedusha of Klal Yisrael from the shift, he would be zochet to the shiftei kah. He knew up in nevuah that this would add kedusha to Klal Yisrael, and Amram knew. Amram, one of the people who performed no sins, right? No, Yishai, was Amram one of them?
Yeah,
Amram, well, Amram, Yishai, and the third one. Okay, that there no sins, huh? So Amram knew al pi nevuah also that marrying his father's sister Yocheved would bring about a Moshe Rabbeinu. He knew al pi nevuah that it would add kedusha. And since they were keeping Kol HaTorah Kula, but they were able to make a drei and make an exception, so Yaakov and Amram were able to make an exception. So they was adding kedusha to Klal Yisrael. So even if we would say v'nichrasu, but before Matan Torah, whatever, you could make dreis. No, excuse me. That was the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give the Torah earlier. And that was averted. The Nefesh HaChaim says the reason why Ribbono Shel Olam did not give the Torah earlier, like what's he waiting to Parshas Vayisro for? He should give the Sefer Torah by the Avos. Avraham Avinu, when he was in care of everyone, they should give him the Torah. That makes so much more sense. So why did he do that? Teretz is, the Torah was delayed only so that Yaakov should be able to marry two sisters. Only so that Amram should be able to marry his father's sister. That's the whole reason the Torah wasn't given. That sounds so powerful. So what kind of disgrace to Klal Yisrael would it be if you write v'nichrasu and you know it anyway? Ah, you see how sensitive the neshamas are. So sensitive. It was also part of the theme that we have to be so careful with the neshamas that we're entrusted with. I think the theme of the program of Torah Prevention was endorsing positivity. So he spoke, the first shmooze to see how that every little bit makes a difference to Klal Yisrael, even Yeshua, make a difference. And you see that even just writing the word v'nichrasu on something you know already, but writing it straight out will make a very difference. So we should sort of try and remember every word, every kind word of chizuk to a talmidim makes such a big difference. Even when you think it doesn't make a difference, why would you think it would make a difference if Moshe would tell that to Yeshua? Why would you think it would make a difference? He said the word v'nichrasu, not tim nichrasu. If anything, like Klal Yisrael knows this is a different, and that, but still, it would make a very big difference.
What,
regards to
hurting your feelings?
The kashes on the shmooze. Yeah, kashes on the shmooze. It's bad. So, listen to the tape. So, I don't know how many times I can make the same joke. A lot of times. I don't know if I said over this maysa, but a friend of mine was a musmach of our yeshiva, Rabbi Summers. Maybe some of you know some of his kids. So Rabbi Summers in L.A., I mean Yitzhak Summers, so he told me that he went to Eretz Yisrael. I don't remember why he told me this. Just I was speaking to him last year, maybe about a shidduch. He was calling me about... And I don't know why he told me this maysa, but he went to visit Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and as he went to visit with him, he had to wait a long time, the long line, for whatever reason that night. It was a long night. He waited like an hour and a half. He finally got in. He was on this line. He's coming around. And as he got, he was so excited, finally get a bracha. So he got his bracha, and he was ushered past him. And as soon as he got, right out the door, he can't believe he forgot to tell Rav Steinman. He had something very personal to tell Rav Steinman. And he one of his main highlights of his whole trip there to Israel was to be able to tell this to Rav Steinman. And he got, frozen. You get frozen the last second. You forget what you're supposed to do. So he forgot, and he was like, Tzibrachim. And the Gabbai, Steinman's Gabbai, saw that this Yid was so beside himself. He says, "Is everything okay?" He says, "You got a bracha." He said, "I got a bracha, but I wanted to tell Steinman something very personal, and I forgot the line. Just like a vacuum, it filled in. It'll be another hour if I go back in line. I have to go to the airport." He says, "What do you want to tell Steinman?" Says, "I want to tell him that when he came to L.A. with the Ger Rebbe, that it was such a great chizik to me and others. It was such a great chizik. Now, that's what he said. That's what I wanted to tell him. So, I thought, I, Mordechai Palgan, thought that the Gabbai was going to tell him, like, go home, don't worry, you'll live. Steinman will be just fine. If he doesn't hear that, go home. You know, I'll tell him, don't worry, I'll take care of it, get out of here. But the Gabbai pulled him by his lapel, and he pulled him back, pushed away the people, and pushed him in front of Rav Steinman, and he says, tell him. So Rabbi Summer said, I wanted to say that when Rav Shiva came to Los Angeles with the Gary, so he said it in Hebrew or Yiddish, when no, he probably doesn't speak Yiddish, when he came to LA with the Gary Rebbe, it was tremendous chizik to me and to many others. I wanted to thank the Rav Shiva very much for coming. Okay, left. Then after he left, the Gabbai came running after him. He says, people don't realize, but the Gedolei Yisrael also need chizik. I want to tell this story together with Rabbi Harris's shmuz from Yeshua. You hear this? The Gedolim also need chizik. Rav Steinman's Gabbai, he wanted to tell this over to him because Rav Steinman needs to hear the chizik also. He also needs chizik. I got tremendous chizik when I heard that thing. Because you know, people think, oh yeah, they got it all together. There's enormous weight they carry on their shoulders. And how on earth do they manage? They're carrying the weight and problems and problems and problems. And how do they do it? And I suspect from the story, certainly from Rabbi Harris, the Shmuz by Yeshua, it isn't so easy sometimes. It's very overbearing.
Is that just flattery, or is it?
That's not flattery. That's thank you very much for coming. Why you gave me chizik? If I knew it meant so much to you, I would do more of it. Like I feel bad. Like I got so much chizik when I was all my years in yeshiva davening. I davened like three tables away from the yeshiva. I got such chizik from hearing him daven, watching him daven. There was a maisa with someone just told me this story that his father didn't want him to stay in yeshiva. He wanted to stay in yeshiva, and he was going to come tell the yeshiva that my son is not staying anymore. So he came one morning, came for shacharis, and right after shacharis, without an appointment, he was going to storm over to the yeshiva and tell him that my son is leaving, I'm taking with me, you know, whether he likes it or not, he's out of here. And so he came to daven that morning. This is I don't know the story firsthand, someone told it to me. And after davening, he told his son that anyone who has a yeshiva who davens like that, I can't take him away. He let him stay in yeshiva, just from the yeshiva's davening. But I felt bad. I never told the yeshiva that just being there when he davened was such a chizik to me. I never told him. And I probably should have, you know. He suffered from tremendous, terrible headaches. He told me once, I had an appointment with him. It was like shortly after the summer, and he told me how bad his headaches were. And he said that there was a whole crisis with ARTS, which is the government's accreditation for yeshivas that grant them accreditation, college board accreditation. So if you want to be accredited by the government, you have to get accredited by ARTS. Government can't accredit yeshiva, but they don't know how to evaluate yeshiva. So there's an organization called ARTS that was put together that the government signed up with them that if ARTS will recommend you, you're considered accredited by the government and you can get whatever, you know, student grants and stuff like that. We tried. I tried last year to get it for the yeshiva in Miami, which would help the guys with college credit, so we don't have to rely on Queens and stuff like that. Whatever. It wasn't so easy. We're still in the process of doing so. We've done somewhere between nothing and a little so far. So yeshiva told me that there was some kind of scandal in arts that there was some kind of fraud, something happened with arts. And what happens when you have a company that there's any kind of accusation, the people who do the foul play are usually very low on the totem pole. But they don't go after those people, they take the board of directors because they're responsible for the organization. So Shiva told me, you know, he was very frightened. He says, we're in big trouble. And he says, I could end up in jail. Shiva told me this, I could end up in jail. Why? Why would Shiva in jail? Shiva had nothing to do with arts. He says, but they go by the board of directors, the Vad. So who? I'm on the Vad. So everyone was living there. Ramosha they're not going to take because he has a bad heart, pacemaker. Rav Ruderman they're not going to take because he has bad eyesight. Rav Yaakov they're not going to take, he had some other calamity, I don't remember what. Rav Gifta they're not going to take because there's some other issue. And me, what do I have? Headaches? I'm going to be the only one that can take him to jail. Ended up it was nothing, but he suffered from terrible headaches. Probably people should have given more chizik. But anyway, he was still important chizik was. He said it, then I want to say over the mashgiach from Gateshead, he was fantastic. He's a man in his, he looked to be like he was not even 50. He was in his 40s. Very articulate and very with it. And like he spoke Shabbos afternoon, he was speaking to all the mechanchim, you know, different ideas, and then he sort of wanted to apologize. I don't want people to think that I'm preaching over here, that I'm any smarter than you are. Like I was coming to the airport on Thursday, and then my teenage daughters were with me in the car. They dropped me off at the airport, and they say, he had a British accent. And like as I was leaving, they said, Daddy, we can't understand it. Why would they ask you to speak at the Torah convention? Like he was trying to say, like, I don't know what I'm doing either. You know, like that. Okay, let's go through a few other things. Oh, he said over one word I want to tell you from him. He said over like 18 years ago, he was dealing with kids who were off the derech, and there were kids who went off the derech, who were going off the derech. He was trying to get them back in, and there was, you know, there were different variant degrees of kids who were going off, and there was one boy who, when he came in, he was wearing like these real leather jacket with like studs on them and like really extreme outerwear. I guess that's how you would call it. You'd picture it. So he said to the boy, like, you know, why are you wearing that? You know, not asking anything. Like, what are you wearing? It's like really alternative. And, you know, isn't it hard? Your mother is such a nice lady and your father's a Rebbe. Like, why are you wearing that? That kind of jacket. That, like, how do you look at your mother? It's like, it must be so hard for her. Why don't you just wear regular, you know, like more normal clothing? So the boy said, this is very powerful. He said, when I was younger, so my parents, they never stopped bugging me. This is really powerful. They never stopped hounding me on that, wearing a hat and jacket, to the point where I felt that at some point that they cared more about my hat and jacket than about me. And I grew up detesting anything that associated with a hat or jacket. So he said, Mashkiach said, Rabbi Gershon Miller, he said, as much as we want to encourage our Talmidim, our kids, to act like Bnei Torah, to dress like Bnei Torah, is very important. And, you know, hat and jacket is probably included in that. There is an inyan to madrich them, but you have to be careful that certain kids are very sensitive. You have to know you know, which kid's which. You have to think. So a certain kid who's going the opposite direction, he's not receiving the hadracha, you have to be careful. He's not saying you shouldn't encourage them to dress. We do believe in the mechanic kids to do the right thing, but you have to be careful. You don't want to push a kid in that direction. So sometimes, Baruch Hashem, most kids aren't like that, but you have to be choshesh, always to be careful to watch how a kid is reacting, and you know, he shouldn't, chas v'shalom, be taking and going the other direction. The first question I walked into Thursday night to the panel of the Novominsky Rebbe, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, and Avraham Feldman in Baltimore was, they were asking these questions. I was telling a couple of the guys today, they were asking like patsy questions, I thought. You know what a patsy question is? I was telling Menachem, right? The guys today, it's like after a major sporting event, like after a Super Bowl, and the quarterback throws this winning pass, you know, to win the game, he'll have this like cheesy reporter afterwards said, you know, you won the game. What does this win say about the resolve of this team? What kind of a stupid question is that? You know, oh yeah, this, you know, our team always has the winning attitude and we always push to win. That's the great thing about this team. He asked questions like that. So the questions were very like generic, and it was almost like they're like hanging curveballs for the Gedolim there to like say their piece. So the question I walked into, first question was, what did the Gedolim say about the Balabatim having a daya in the Chinuch? Like, you know, so it was just an opportunity for them to like hit it far out of the park. So the Novominsky Rebbe says, Chas v'sholem, to allow the Balabatim to have a daya on the Chinuch. They cannot have a say, only the Manal or the Vada Chinuch. Otherwise, there'll only be confusion. The Balabatim are the Zvulans, and the Chinuch policies are there for the Yisachars. And makes no difference, this I'm adding from the Reshiva, and makes no difference what or how long the payas are of the Balabatim. By the way, I can tell you one other chiddush to this policy is the Reshiva held, obviously, that the yeshiva can't even, they therefore the Balabatim shouldn't have any authority on the yeshiva. And in our own board of directors, the bylaws clearly are clear that the legabi the chinuch, there are no Balabatim. And the Gabi the Mominus, there's a Shutfis. So the Reshivas are Shutfim, the Gabi the Mominus. But the Gabi the Chinuch, there's no Shutfis, just the Reshivas. And I once had the Shaila, the whole Shaila came up with me giving Shir. You know, I had given a break last year. This year we had an emergency. I have to see about next year. But it wasn't just so pasha to not give shir. Rabbi Gumbat said you have to give shir because the reshiva felt that a yeshiva cannot be run, can't have a yeshiva being run by Balabatim. So I said the yeshiva is not being run by Balabatim. What's it have to do with me giving shir? He says no. If you're not giving shir, then you'll be like the Balabas. You can't have a Balabas. What's the difference between a Balabas and a Rosh Hashiva? The Rosh Hashiva is involved in learning and giving shir. So that's like pretty scary. In other words, anyone who is not involved with learning, it could be you did learn for 20 years, but if right now you're not learning, then you are reduced. And not that a Baal Bas is an insult, but you don't have that stature of it not being run by a Balabatim. So what separates us, it's good to know for our whole lives, what separates us, the Bnei Yeshiva, people holy and learning, involved in learning. If you're involved in learning, it didn't say you have to give shir necessarily, but you're holding and learning. If you're holding and learning, that's what makes the difference. It's just a very powerful tool that the learning itself empowers the person. It raises our whole machshava. Everything that we do is changed by the learning. The Novinsky Rebbe said that Irving Bunim was mevatel himself to Rav Aaron Cutler and became his Eved Naman. He was the Baal Bas raising all the money and helped raise a lot of money for Lakewood. And you see that it's possible for Baal Bas to mevatel himself to the Rosh Yeshiva. Says Chas Hashem, the Baal Batim were involved. Who knows? They may decide to give off on Sundays. I don't know. Even without that, I think that Rashi would say not to do it, even if they won't give up on Sunday, even if that's not the agenda. The kind of question is, there was a whole issue on Kriya. There's a whole Yerida on what could be done to help the youth be able to read better. Rav Aaron Feldman said they should not learn as many blot, learn less blot so they could master, I'm talking about little kids, they should be able to master the reading more. The Novinsky Rebbe says it's very important to get involved with Kriya. You have to get extra, parents have to put in extra time to help them because otherwise they become paralyzed. Or Shmuel Kamensky said they should concentrate on Siddur a lot. We don't spend enough time on kids practicing from the Siddur. They should spend more time on that, and even some of the older grades, because that will help them for Gemara. And then the question came up, should we skip anything when we learn Navi or Chumash, and you have some one of these topics like Yehud and Tamar and other topics in Navi, should we skip it? So Rav Aaron Feldman quoted from the Chafetz Chaim that a child cannot be harmed by any mili de Torah. You don't skip anything. You have to learn Navi. And then Rav the Novinsky Rebbe said, the Pasha Yehud and Tamar and the Chumash, okay, but Navi, there's so much to learn, he said. Do these kids really need to learn about someone chopping off someone's fingers? He thinks you should skip the prakim that involved that, but that wasn't the majority opinion. Then they said, should schools have parenting classes? Okay, that's another patsy question. The Novinsky Rebbe said it's absolutely important. The parents have to learn what a Shabbos Suda is. They have to know that how they behave at home makes a big difference in how the kid grows up. He gave a mashal on a Shabbos Suda. If a kid comes home and the parents are speaking about Lashon Hara and Zilzil Tamid Chachamim, because what do parents do? They come home from shul and they say how terrible the rabbi is and how terrible the drasha he gave. And he told them to be quiet. And who does he think to tell me to be quiet? So I'm talking once there. And Mizal al Dmin Chamim. They have to talk up, you know, parent. The schools, unfortunately, have to train the parents. They talk about bullying. Another patsy question. You know, what do the Rashivas feel about bullying? They want to know, is it okay for a parent to tell his kid to fight back if anyone, you know, bullies them? So the Rav Aaron Feldman said, you could tell him to fight back with one tanai if he's stronger. But it's very important that now I have to work on bullying because that, in the older days, there was no bullying. And Rav Shmuel said you should, they should speak about bullying at the beginning of the year, because if you speak about it openly, it'll be better. And the Novinsk Rebbe, this was so beautiful to hear. He was like half in tears. He said, how could they bully? I don't understand. Tell them that they're not being mekayem v'haftarecha kamocha if they bully. It's just tell them that, and they won't bully. The guy, so he was so passionate. He was mamish, half in tears. Teach them v'haftarecha kamocha. He was serious. Like he, if you would have seen the pain, I think if the kids... If the Novomenskoye Rebbe would come and speak about bullying in the yeshiva at the beginning of the year to all the kids, the way he was saying it, I felt that's all that would be needed. All these bullying initiatives, if you have to be the Baal Regesh of the Novomenskoye Rebbe and really feel the pain of the kids. He was mamish in tears, half in tears, to hear that one kid would hurt another kid just because he wants to feel like he's better. But it's not v'haftarecha kamocha.
Why don't they fly him down and let him do that?
It was hard for him to get from his seat to the podium. You know, he's in a wheelchair, not a push-up. They said about in the old days, the only people that went off the derech are if you needed for parnasa. There was an assayan. Parnasa people went off the derech because they couldn't get a job on Shabbos, or they were not in a place that had a from school. Otherwise, nobody went off the derech, and it's a big problem now. Even from people go off the derech, from the best families. But they think they're bad. We should discuss it openly. Shouldn't sweep it under the carpet. They want to know, should we speak to the kids about, drugs, molestation? Should we talk about with kids? They said, yeah, you have to give them some awareness. Pretty interesting. And we're running out of time, but I'll tell you one over from the Rabbi Reisman. So Rabbi Reisman spoke right after this panel discussion Thursday night, and Rabbi Reisman said over one vart from one gadol that he once met, and that was Rabbi Nachman. That was not planned. And, he's Rosh Yeshiva Torah V'Das. I was once in Queens, and I went over to see Rav Henoch Leibowitz, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, and there was some kind of kolo vad going on. They were asking shailas on chinuch, and they asked Rav Henoch a shaila, and the shaila was, what's the most important skill needed for chinuch? And Rabbi Reisman was thinking, and he thought, for sure the Reshiva would say learning Musar, because Reb Henoch was known, always speaking about Limud HaMusar, so he was sure the Reshiva would say that, and the Reshiva said, the most important midah is to have a sense of humor. And he gave an example, why you have to have a sense of humor. The husband and wife got into this argument, and the wife was very offended, but she didn't say anything to him. And after all the children were asleep and the house is quieting down, she was going to go to sleep. She told her husband, I waited all day. I want to tell you that what you said to me today, I was very offended by what you said. And I hope you don't want me to tell you, but I felt I needed to tell you. And the husband said, before I respond, you took time. I'd like 2 minutes to think about what you said. And so she said, okay, fine, I appreciate it, think about it. She said, yes, I like 2 minutes. And 2 minutes, he didn't say anything, so she waited 4 minutes, she waited 6 minutes, and then she looked up, and he was snoring. He fell asleep. So the wife just laughed, like, here I am in agony, waiting for his answer, and like, you see the big rosh of it made on him, he fell asleep. She laughed it off. So having a sense of humor, the Hasidim, he says, have an expression called lachavek. Lachavek means laugh it off. And that many things can be laughed off. And there's another expression the Hasidim have called machavek, that make as if it's not there. And he said the story about Anshul Tesler, I'm not sure who that is, someone from the Holocaust. his whole family was wiped out, his wife, all his children. And by the liberation, when they came, he said, that's it. He was so, his whole life was taken away from him. He couldn't believe anymore. He wasn't going to daven. That's it. He can't daven to God anymore. Tomorrow morning, he's not davening. The next day, they came, and he had tallis and tefillin on. He was davening. So his friend came to him. He says, no, I thought you told me not daven anymore. He said, I wasn't going to daven, but I want to eat breakfast. How can I eat breakfast without davening? So that's called machavek. Like, he sort of, like, he said it, and it bothered him, but, like, he just, we don't have to, like, follow up on everything. You have to see, you know, you have to try and see as much positive. There's not a lot of negative, we see some positive. And I'll close with one, I don't know, not mochruch, the Hasidic Shavart. Okay. It's so beautiful. Not that you're going to like this one. It says, Chazal always referred to the words ayin hara, but it doesn't say einayim ros. It says ayin, one eye, hara, hara, ayin hara. Why doesn't it say einayim ros, bad eyes? Why does it say one eye? So the answer is because with one eye you could see negative, but you have two eyes for a reason. And there's always some, when you open up the second eye, you can always find something positive. When you see something negative, you know, that means you're only looking with one eye. But if you want to really look, you could always find something positive.
Was that this?
Yeah.
Rabbi Reisman. You could always find something positive. So, you know, the point of this is, you know, we could find the positive. You have to look. Sometimes you look a little better. You know, like a Rebbe asked, how many full-time classes I come into the classroom, the kids are crazy, they're jumping all over the place, and what positive thing am I going to say when I'm trying to teach and they're jumping and they don't even listen to me. I tell them to be quiet, they're not saying anything. So that was the question, but they didn't answer. But I told the Rebbe, you could say, wow, I think you're the rowdiest bunch I've ever seen. That's pretty positive. In first place, be positive. So, that time I close. Oh, it's late for my. I can't resist. One last story about this. This lady in the cattle car. This girl, her brother was being sent to the cattle car to the left, which was going to the camps, the concentration camps. So she, you know, she didn't know, but she knows she's being separated from her brother. So she runs onto the train trying to be with her brother, but they pulled her back, and she sees that her little brother is sitting there without shoes on. He forgot to take his shoes with him. So she said, why don't you take your shoes? You're the most disorganized kid I ever saw. And then they pulled her away. And the kid was taken to the camps and killed. And it bothered her the rest of her life that the last thing she said to her son was about the... something negative. So she took upon herself that from now on, whenever she says anything to anyone, she's always going to think that if the last thing I say is going to be positive. So she's, you know, it's always, anytime you're leaving someone, you're not going to see them until tomorrow, don't leave on a negative note. Say something positive. You're in an argument with someone, settle it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. And it's always, that's a good thing to always keep in mind that you see someone today, you know, you get too upset with him, say, listen, I'm not so upset. You know, leave the conversation. We'll continue tomorrow. Don't worry. It's going to be good. Have a good night, everyone.